One thing I forgot to do this morning, which I need to do now, is to bring greetings from Laquanda. I hope you remember her. She was working with us in the campus outreach work and went back to the US for medical attention. They have since been able to diagnose what was the problem. She should be commencing medication if she hasn't already, and the Lord willing, June she plans to return. And she was very clear while she was there, telling everyone that she's planning to come for about at least 5 years. she said very clearly, I need to bring greetings from her to you and let you know that she's missing you and looks forward to coming back. So that's greetings. But then we are going into Missions Week, and as I did this morning, allow me to do the same. There are a number of issues connected to the week we are going into. The main thing I need to plead is for us to be present. For us to be present. It's the most important week on our church calendar. Now, I know we also have personal projects, family projects, etc., etc. But we are a church constituted in order to further the cause of the gospel, the cause of the kingdom of God. And what we have done since round about the year 2008 is to make sure that once a year, for a whole week, we center this agenda item onto this 1 week of the year. So if we are simply going to continue doing our own things, we are missing out on an opportunity for us to achieve 3 things. One is to, in God's presence, ask ourselves, does God want me to go as a missionary to do this kind of work? Number two, to hear hot off the press reports of what's happening in the mission field, where we've sent men and their wives and families to go and extend the borders of God's kingdom. To ask ourselves what's happening there so that our prayers would be relevant, that they would be according to what's happening there. And then thirdly and lastly, it's in the realm of money, that we may consider afresh how much we should give as a one-off and how much we should give regularly in terms of monthly. The one-off amount is, we've been given envelopes, we will be given envelopes. They've prepared them very nicely. I wish I could say that it was my initiative to bring them out this way, but someone will say, no, it isn't. So we'll leave that item off the agenda. But they look very nice. And one is for the month, rather the one-off giving. We've put the target for 160,000 kwacha. We didn't quite manage to get all that in this particular year. In terms of pledges, you pledged 166. In terms of what came in, it was about 152 or 56,000 kwacha. So we just missed it briefly. But let's again pledge. And during the conference, remember to collect this envelope. It has 160,000 one-off. And we want to raise the money primarily because we have not yet found partners for the work in Silverest, and we want to have sufficient money to kick the whole project off and to keep it going for a number of months while we are looking for partners to come alongside us. So raising this money is going to be crucial. And then there is the monthly amount, which again there will be an envelope. You collect these two envelopes during the missions conference. And then if you will not be available on the last day, which is Sunday, you simply put your envelope with the amount written on a piece of paper in it and throw it into the box at the back. Or if you will be with us that Sunday, you simply put this into the offering bag. The deacons will count the figures and then tell us whatever the total will be from all of us collectively. That's the money that as a church we will be giving towards missions across the entire year, per month. And it's important for us to realize we do have approximately 15 to 17 mission stations running at the same time. And we want to make sure that we are supporting them, even as partners are helping us. Okay, so whether you're a student, you're a worker, it's something that you can give according to what you are able to. We really want to make sure we help these missionaries. All right, and then lastly, it's the fact that yesterday was the last day for us to finally decide on proceeding with the work in Silverest. Although our brother and his wife received a real overwhelming positive confidence vote, over 98%. However, we are not democratic. That just helps us to see the level of confidence someone enjoys in the church. So we still wanted to provide the 1.6% of the vote the opportunity in case they had something legitimate to stop us from going ahead. So we gave them 2 weeks. Nobody came, and therefore we proceed. And the deadline was yesterday. As they say, when you're getting married, notice was given and no caveat was entered upon that notice of marriage. So we now proceed. So this coming Sunday, we will have the joy of setting apart yet another missionary to go and do church planting work. It will be in Silverest, halfway between here and Chongo, not quite halfway, but in that direction, in a brand new residential area that is growing out there. And please do come out in your full numbers for the Sunday service as well. It's worth mentioning what I said in the morning. Although we lose individuals when we church plant within Lusaka, this is our 8th church plant in the Lusaka area. The pews still fill up. If you were here this morning, you would have noticed that. Therefore, let's be encouraged to support this work. And those of you, we will lose a few of you, but you know, that's part of life. We trust that in due season, we will have a glorious time in spreading the gospel. Okay, so those are the messages I had about this coming week. And simply to say, let's be much in prayer, because we might start taking things for granted, you know, sort of just planting a church every year, you know, a new church and so on. Brethren, we are pushing back the domains of darkness. If you are a member of KBC, you know that the last 1 year, we underwent a lot of attacks, a lot of attacks. Let's not take our unity for granted. Let's keep praying. Okay, we have Lord's Supper this evening, but before we have Lord's Supper, let's meditate again on Romans and chapter 15. So if you could turn there with me, Romans chapter 15. This morning, I mentioned the fact that we were speaking on the power of partnering in order to achieve a missionary's godly longings. And again, brethren, let us never forget that we are essential partners with missionaries. Essential partners. And therefore, we must play our part, that while they are laboring in the field, we are laboring with them from the home base. And we noted from Romans chapter 15 that although this is a most glorious epistle, by the Apostle Paul, these last words are also important. They help us to understand the mechanics that take place behind the curtains that bring into fruition that the drama of the spread of the gospel as we see it on center stage. What we saw from this passage was the Apostle Paul's longing for fellowship with the Roman church. We were looking at verse 22 to verse 24 and then skipped to verse 32. We saw there his longing, first of all, for simply enjoying the company of brethren in an established church, and then also for their support for the next phase of his ministry. And then lastly, he was looking forward to simply being refreshed, reinvigorated, renewed in spiritual energy, as then he would proceed to the next phase. Well, this evening, we are now looking at the power of partnership, but this time in meeting or realizing the missionary's godly longing for effective ministry. For effective ministry. And with that, let's again read this passage. Romans 15, beginning with verse 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. And then our text for this evening. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Well, this morning, as I said, we saw the partnership helping to realize the missionary's longing for fellowship, spiritual fellowship. But then this evening, it is for effective ministry. And in order for us to appreciate that, let me quickly give the context of what Paul is speaking about in verse 25 down to verse 28. It bridges the two messages, but it also gives us the context. What really was happening at this point was that a famine had broken out in Judea, and the Apostle Paul sent an appeal to the Gentile churches in Europe, in the province of Macedonia and also in the province of Achaia, basically saying, look, the churches in Judea are the ones that set apart the missionaries and sent the gospel your way. Now they are in difficulties. They are in need of material help. So surely, as a way of saying thank you to them, you also could put together some materials and send them over to help them. And it is really in that context that the Apostle Paul then participated in these fundraising ventures. He went through Macedonia, collected finances. He then went through Achaia, collected finances, and together with a few brethren then were planning to take these materials over to Jerusalem. Now, he managed to do that in the end and consequently made his way to Rome, etc. Although his way to Rome did not work out exactly the way he had planned it, in that he now went as a prisoner instead of somebody going freely. But this is what he was planning to do. And at the end of these plans, he now mentions the way in which he was anticipating the period that he would have with this established church. Again, you remember I said that's one difference between what was happening here and in our case. In our case, it's our missionaries coming back, whereas in this case, it's not the church in Rome that sent Paul, but nonetheless, it was an established church. So what is the first lesson that we are learning here in terms of a missionary's godly longing for effective ministry? The first is that the established church itself benefits from the missionary's knowledge. The established church benefits from the missionary's knowledge. And this is what the Apostle Paul has in mind when he says in verse 29, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now that's a very strange way of speaking. I'm sure you'll notice that. We don't normally speak in those terms, that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. In fact, commentators struggle quite a bit in terms of, okay, is Paul saying that he's going to come and dish out, as it were, the full measure of the blessing of Christ? Or is he suggesting that when he comes, he will receive from the brethren the full blessing of Christ? Which one is it? Well, if we go to Romans 1, we soon discover that in fact, we don't even need to find out which of the two it is. It is both. It is both. Look at Romans 1, verse 11 and verse 12. Romans 1, verse 11 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul there says, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, listen, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So it's not a one-way traffic here. It is both ways. And that's why the Apostle Paul leaves it in this vague and general way that I will come and it will be in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. In other words, I will come and share with you what I have, and you will also share with me what I have. And us coming together, there will be an overflowing blessing in terms of the fullness of Christ pervading our time together. Now, with respect to the Apostle Paul, I guess, you know, all of us can understand that, you know, you would have given him the pulpit and say, look, you know, for the next few days, just keep preaching at it. Judging from Romans itself, you would want to say, let's hear this chap now live. So to a large extent, it would have been something of him preaching. And yet, when you look at Romans 1, you soon see that it's not so much that, you know, I'm going to come to teach you and you also teach me. It's not so much that. Rather, it is that we'll be encouraged by each other's faith. That's what it says in Romans 1. That we will be encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. How are we to understand this? By each other's faith. Well, brethren, it's experiential knowledge. It's experiential knowledge. In other words, here is Paul arriving in Rome. And what is going to be the main content that's going to encourage the brethren in Rome? You don't need to guess. He'll be talking about how he was in Rome and he saw that the devastating effect of the famine, the poverty that it was causing, the lack of food that it was causing, everything else that you can associate with famine, and that he was really troubled and wondering what could be done for the brethren here. And then it was as though the Lord just laid it on his heart that look, as these churches blessed the churches there, those churches can actually give back. And he would say, look, I wrestled with it. I said, no, perhaps it can't happen, and so on. And finally, I thought, okay, let me just give myself to this fundraising drive. And I must admit that when I started off for Europe, I didn't quite expect that we're going to meet this need. But I took off and we went and I challenged the brethren. And trust me, they gave out of their poverty more than I would have ever expected. And consequently, we came back with such great supplies to the brethren, and the brethren were just rejoicing at the goodness of God in meeting their needs and so on. Look at what the Lord did. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The brethren in Rome would obviously be encouraged by what God had done through the faith of the Apostle Paul. Well, they also had their testimonies. Because you see, the Christian faith is an experiential faith. They would also be sharing in the capital city of the world at that time. That was the Washington or New York of the then world. The most powerful nation on the planet. Rome had its headquarters in that city, the Roman Empire. Christians were being persecuted in a terrible way, and yet they stood firmly. So they also would share something of their faith to the Apostle Paul, and consequently, he would be encouraged that this Christian faith is real. It's real, brethren. It's real. And therefore, let's go and continue in this work. Well, brethren, isn't that true even today? The missionaries are coming through. They're with us this week. Listen to their stories. Listen. As they'll share with you the many times when they almost gave up. Listen. When they share with you some of the impossible converts that they have on their hands now. Listen. But don't just listen. Share. Share with them. A number of you have also had your trials and your afflictions, loss of employment, ill health, whatever other situations have come into your life. Share that with them. They've come to visit a church that no doubt has had its fair share of slander. Well, share that with them. Be open, share, talk, and speak in terms of how the Lord has upheld you through it all as a church Share your faith with them, an experiential faith. Let them also share with you. And you can be sure that the next 7 days will be full of the blessing of Christ. Will you do that? Will you do that? Instead of holding back, share with them as they share with you. Share with them, and may this week prove a real blessing. So, yes, there is the teaching aspect, but that's not what Paul had in mind. He had in mind sharing each other's faith. And may that happen this week. An effective ministry that they will have among us, so that even when they've gone away, they will say, at least I proved a blessing to the brethren. I could say to them, our faith is real. And they also had a ministry in my life. They said to me, our faith is real. But the second way in which their godly longing for effective ministry is satisfied is by their reliance on our prayers. Their reliance on our prayers. And we see this in back to our text in verse 30 and 31. The Apostle Paul there says, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. In your prayers to God on my behalf. Now, this one, I won't even need to take long. Because if you were surprised about the fact that you need to share in terms of just being good company to missionaries, in terms of helping to supply their needs for their next agenda or program in life, in terms of ensuring they are refreshed when they are heading back to their mission stations, in terms of sharing each other's faith. If you were surprised about all that, I don't think you are surprised when I say they expect you to pray for them. I don't think that's a surprise. I trust you do pray for them regularly. But what might be a surprise is the way Paul phrases it. Look at the phrase. He says there that you might strive together with me, or struggle together with me, or wrestle together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Now, that is what might come a little bit as a surprise. Because we don't normally think like that. And yet, really, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, the things I'm sharing with you, which we'll come to in a moment again, this whole fundraising effort to take much-needed supplies to the churches in Judea. It's you mustn't pray about it as though you are going through a shopping list. Now, you know shopping list prayers, where you just say, no, Lord, we thank you for our missionary in Botswana, bless him. Thank you too for our missionary in Nigeria, bless them too. Thank you, Lord, for our missionaries in Mongu, in rather Asecheke, no Senanga, bless them. Thank you, Lord, for our missionaries in Choma, Monze, bless them too. Zimbabwe, bless them. You know, it's just bless, Lord, bless them, bless them. You know, it's kind of shopping these prayers, like putting a Visa card into that machine and it takes out your money and we move on. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about real wrestling in prayer, struggling in prayer, like a woman in childbirth until the answer comes forth. That's really what he's talking about here. One example of this is found in Colossians and chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul refers to Epaphras. Colossians chapter 4, who had come from the brethren in Colossae, had come to help out with Paul, and while he was with Paul, the way he was praying, the Apostle Paul phrased it in exactly these terms. So Epaphras is in Colossians 4 and verse 12. Colossians 4 and verse 12. Look at the way he puts it. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. Now listen to this. Always struggling on your behalf in his prayer. And what is he struggling about? What is he striving about? What is he wrestling about? That you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Again, there it is. It was not a kind of shopping these prayers. Lord, bless them that they might be mature. But that as he was praying, Paul could see that this man was, as it were, wrestling with God. The church in Colossae may be comprised of mature brethren in due season. Now, that's, brethren, what matters. It is hard work. And the only way we can do this is, number one, if we can identify ourselves with what the missionaries are doing. In other words, it is a command given by our Lord Jesus Christ, both for them and us. It's not for them alone. It's for them and us. And notice the way back to our text, the way the Apostle Paul makes the appeal. He says there in verse 30, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is he saying that? Well, it's simple. It's not just his Lord. He is also the Lord of the Roman church. In other words, this task is not mine alone. It's yours too, because the one who gave us the Great Commission is your Lord and mine. He's expecting that together we will achieve this. And therefore, you cannot half-heartedly, half asleep, just be mentioning, Lord, this missionary, bless him. And then you continue struggling with where your real struggles are. No. You must equally be concerned that we achieve this. And because you are equally concerned, you really pray. You really pray. But secondly, it is that which is birthed in us by the Spirit of God. And that's why the Apostle Paul says there in verse 30, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God who resides in our hearts is the one who should inspire us, is the one who should move us to really, really, really pray. Because he is the one who has been assigned with the task of leading the kingdom forward. And is in our hearts. He gives us real love for the Lord's work. And consequently, we really pray. We really pray. We are together as family. And consequently, it affects us. And therefore, we throw in our Lord and really pray. Now, one of the ways in which we must do this, brethren, is by receiving news, hot off the press news. You know, we belong to families, and there are certain members of the family that we haven't heard from for a long time. And every so often we remember them and we say, Lord, you know, bless the banders, and you sort of just look the other way. You know, it doesn't really affect you. But when you receive news from them and you are told that, in fact, that the youngest child is actually in hospital right now and underwent surgery yesterday, it changes the way you pray immediately. You begin to pray with real intentionality. You want to pray until you hear that that child is out of hospital. Because it's now real. It's in real time. It's what's happening right now. It affects that family. You belong to that family. It affects you, and consequently you pray. And you even send messages back saying the following day, any news, any updates, because you are engaged. It's a real need in real time. May I make a similar appeal? Because I know as home groups, missionaries are assigned to us. Mission stations are assigned to us. I know that. But brethren, if all you know is that that's the mission we pray for, you don't have what's happening now, in real time, now, I want to assure you, there's no way you can pray like this. No way. But when they've told you that the tent they meet in was completely destroyed in tatters by the last rains, and consequently, they've got nowhere else to meet, they don't know where they will meet this weekend, you will pray. You want to ask, what can we do? It'll be very real to you. By Saturday evening, you'll be asking the question, has the matter been resolved? In other words, your asking God now becomes real. And the Apostle Paul can speak like this concerning these brethren, because he was putting in front of them prayer request for the now. We'll look at that request in a moment, but it was for the now. And that's one reason why this week is so important, because the missionaries will be sharing with us the now, what's happening now where they are, what the challenges are now, and how important it is to be there, to hear the news, that we might be affected. It will change the way we pray. Well, let me hurry on to my last point. The missionary doesn't just ask for prayer, but anticipates joy in the task being accomplished. Anticipates joyful fruit. Let's go back to our text. Romans 15. He says, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Verse 31. This is the prayer request. That I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. That's the negative part. But there's the positive part. And it is this. And that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. And what happens if I'm delivered from the enemies of God, and I fulfill the agenda that I have? Look at this, verse 32. So that by God's will, I may come to you with joy. I may come to you with joy. Now, let's quickly try and piece this together. First of all, Christian work always has opposition. Christian work always has opposition. The first opposition is that which is spiritual but natural, in terms of the world, the devil, and our own fallen nature. But the second is simply actual opposition from individuals who feel threatened. Christian work will have this. And that's why the Apostle Paul is asking here to be delivered from unbelievers in Judea. And a lot of these unbelievers would be Jews who are angry at the fact that Paul has been developing this sect of the people of the way, and now they are everywhere. The religion of the Jews is being threatened by this guy. As far as we're concerned, he's desecrating the synagogues by taking Gentiles there and so forth. And therefore, the moment they hear he has arrived in Jerusalem, they want to lay their hands on him and finally kill him. So he says, pray for me because I know I'm walking into danger. And then, of course, there's the positive, because ultimately, missionaries don't just want to survive, to keep showing up every year and saying, thank you for praying, we survived. And they want to be able to say, that which we said we wanted to accomplish when I was here last year, hey, it's been done. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been done. And now, for this year, there's another item on the agenda. And therefore, when they come back to us the following year, they come back with joy. Mission accomplished. It's these two always together. Now, I don't have time, but those of you with pen and paper can take note of 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 and 2, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. And in each one of those, you see this aspect of the negative and the positive. The negative and the positive. And it's something we have to bear in mind, because it is as there is protection and then achievement that we find missionaries coming back with great joy. Great joy. Well, brethren, I must hurry on to close. As we have seen here, that's the second aspect of a missionary's longing. And we can participate as partners to have this realized. Effective ministry among us, as they come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. We also share with them something of the fullness of the blessing of Christ. We pray for them as they head out to fulfill their calling, and we are praying for them in real time. The things they are sharing with us as burdens now. And then we are praying for protection, and we are praying for them to achieve the great agendas they have in their place. And all to see them coming back the following year with joy. With joy. Saying, thank you for your prayers. But that's not where the ultimate joy will be. The ultimate joy will be when Jesus returns. I don't know about you, but every so often, I entertain myself with that view. When those who labored faithfully to their dying day finally see the full fruit of their work, not just the first generation, but the second and third and fourth, and all that has happened long after they were gone, I think the joy on that day will be inexpressible. It will be incomparable. It will be too glorious to even contemplate. As they see life as God has rolled it out, as individuals hug them from left, right, and center, saying thank you for your labors, thank you that you lived, thank you that you saved, thank you that you sacrificed, that's why I'm here. But here's another. It is when those missionaries turn around and they look at you, the ones who faithfully held their hands. Because they in turn turn around and hug you and say, "You see all this? You see all this? It was because of your partnership. It was because of you. Jesus used you in the lowest times of my life and ministry to uphold me. Together, this is what the Lord accomplished through us." Brethren, the joy on that day will be completely unequaled. Nothing in the whole of this creation, even if God was to give you the wealth of 1,000,000 planets, it's nothing compared to the joy we will know at that time. The theme we have for this week is bringing in the sheaves. It's basically a picture of farmers who've spent a whole season plowing the fields, sowing the seed, weeding the fields, putting in the manures and fertilizer with all the heat and all the rain upon their backs. Finally, the harvest has matured. And they go in and they bring in the harvest. The ears of corn, the sheaves, bring them in. What a picture of the work we have on our hands. On that last day, we will see the sheaves. Trust me, if you were part of the harvest, you will say, "Wow. Wow, I did not anticipate this. Lord, what a great work you have done." May God help us to work with our missionaries to realize their godly longing for an effective ministry. Amen.